God has given us every good and perfect gift that comes down from above, and He is the Father of lights, and He gives us all that greatness. And we can take advantage of that through the precious word that He has given us. And this morning we want you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, where we will speak on verses 1 through 8. We want to be thankful, really, when it comes to this book of Colossians. And we want to be thankful of all the great lessons that are brought about here. And even in the very opening of the text in the salutation, the Apostle Paul, who is the writer, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of this text and the writer, we understand that the writer is the Apostle Paul. And he is one that is not one of the original 12 apostles. He taught the gospel of Christ very powerfully in the first century world. He is generally considered an apostle, by one of the most important figures in the New Testament. He taught somewhere in the mid-30s to the 50s, and he founded several churches in Asia Minor and all around in Europe. As both a Jew and a Roman, the Apostle Paul was able to bring the gospel to both the Jews and the Greeks. And so he had something very special that was given him by God. We know that Paul was originally named Saul, and that he was dedicated to the persecution of the church. This very same man we read about him condoning the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 8. And Ananias feared him, saying how much harm this man has done to all the saints in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 8, verse 13. And many people were amazed at that time at the service to the saints that he had provided, saying, is not this the one who destroyed those who called in the name of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose? And they were really worried about him, and we read that, but when then we see the book of Acts, while Saul was traveling on a road to Damascus, and he met Jesus. Jesus had come down from the glory of heaven one more time, and he met Saul on this road, and a great light was shown about, and Saul was made blind. And as he's traveling to Damascus to bring them bound to Jerusalem, the scripture says, the resurrected Jesus appearing to him, and after a while Paul was restored by Ananias laying hands on him, and he saw, and he ate, and he had gone out, and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ all around that area. Approximately half of the books of the New Testament were written by this apostle dealing with his life and his work. 14 of the 27 books are attributed to Paul. And so that's the writer of this text. And again, he was an apostle. An apostle, according to the Fares, is a delegate, a messenger that is sent out with authority. And so when we read what Paul is saying here, we have to realize that he's just not a messenger, but he's a messenger that was sent with authority. The word apostle occurs 79 times in the New Testament, and it's specifically applied to those that are chosen by God to bring the word out into the world. Those who were chosen to be his companions in herald of the gospel and proclaiming the kingdom of God. By the will of God, the scripture says here in Colossians. And Paul rightfully claimed this equality with the rest of the apostles, because through that heavenly intervention that he had with Jesus on that road to Damascus, he went out and he began to preach this gospel to the Gentile world. And we're being able to gain something from these words of Paul. He owned his knowledge of the way of salvation in a very special way. And he directed the revelation of Christ to the world around him. And that revelation came from Christ himself, when we read that in Acts chapter 26. And moreover, he had evidenced his own apostleship by the qualifications that many of the apostles had, by signs and proofs and miracles. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, he writes the same kind of thing. Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man. He makes it very clear that the words that he writes are not coming from him, because they would mean nothing really to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, the scriptures tell us that truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished by him. And so these people saw the signs and the wonders and the mighty deeds of this apostle. And so we want to take note that apostles are set apart. They're different than the rest that do the service and the work of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, if you look at that, there's this a list that is written that God had appointed these first apostles, and second prophets, and then teachers, and so on. And a very similar list is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 that again lists apostles first. You know, another thing about an apostle is we are very impressed with what the Lord's attention to the apostles is. And when you look in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 14, and if you notice there that there were these 12 foundations, these 12 walls, and each of them, on each of them was written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so when we read just the opening text here in Colossians, and how wonderfully and powerfully these words are put together to teach us how important this is, because it's coming from somebody who was sent with authority, and we certainly want to be thankful for these writings. Also, we think of this as he mentions Timothy. During Paul's long residence in Ephesus, Timothy was with him. We read about that in Acts chapter 19. He sent to Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. And so we know that Paul had men who worked with him, faithful men. And that is reflected here in the church of Colossae. Philemon was with him and had an influence with Timothy. And so there we have this acquaintance between Timothy, the brother, and the saints at Colossae. They were people who were dear to them and brought them comfort through the Word of God. Paul mentioned in this very same way in Philippians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He's giving honor and prominence to this Timothy, whom is a fellow worker in the gospel, marked out for future leadership as we read on into the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 and verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. All of these texts talk about Timothy and his work in the church. The scripture was addressed to the saints. And we need to realize that this is not only talking about the saints in Colossae, but it's talking about us. Paul says he speaks to the saints as the called out ones. And that's who we are. We're the called out ones. We read in Romans that he wrote that they are the called of Jesus Christ to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Romans chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And so that's who we are. And we read that here as Paul refers to these brethren as saints and faithful brethren. in Christ who are in Colossae. We want to mimic that and be thankful for those terms because we are the saints and the faithful brethren who are in Bedford and so on. And the churches are being uplifted here by that precious admonition to be called saints in Christ. He mentions the word faithful brethren. You know, faithful means that we're committed to the calling. Those who had been scattered abroad during the dispersion, they went out and they didn't run and hide. They went out into the world and they preached the word wherever they went. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And we need to be learning from this and being thankful that they went out and did it and showed that we also can do it. Did they have special powers like the signs and the wonders and the miracles that the apostles had? No. Do we have those special powers that the signs and the wonders and the miracles that the apostle had? No. But you know, they went out and they suffered the persecution and they went out and they spoke the word of the truth of the gospel and they did it in all the world around them as they were being persecuted everywhere that they went. And so they were dedicated. They were dedicated to the teaching of the gospel. They were dedicated because of their diligence and their study of God's word, the word that equips us and completes us, as is written in 2 Timothy 3 and 17. They were dedicated to putting away worldliness as we study this text. In Colossians, they didn't want to be like the world around them. And as a church, we need to be thankful and learn from this book that we need to be different. We need to be set apart and we need to be the light of the world, walking in the authority of Christ, as we mentioned this morning in the Bible study. They were dedicated for the pursuit of righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. We read that in 1 Timothy 6 and 11. And the churches were all together, united in one spirit, dedicated to the earnest care that they had for one another, dedicated to the living sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable by the Lord our God, dedicated because they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, dedicated because they were men who had risked their lives, the scriptures tell us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 15 and verse 26. And so being set apart and being committed and dedicated is an earmark of this church in Colossae, and these men that Paul talks about here were the saints set apart for the good work of God. And they were also called brethren. Family relationship is the term there. The name in which they wear, the name that we wear, the name of Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven is named, and on the earth, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. We have this really special name, and it's a name that we should wear proudly. We should be thankful to be called Christian and to walk as these did in verse 4 in their faith and in their love, constantly being recognized for these qualities. A family that loves and does good as opportunity presents itself is the way Paul put it when he spoke to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10. And we're good and accepted in the world because of our goodness, but that goodness is especially devoted to the family of God, to the household of faith. A family that loves the brotherhood and fears God, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. And when Paul talks about this brethren, calls them brethren, it refers to this wonderful family relationship. He also says in Christ. And we know that in Christ is that amazingly special realm called the church. here in Colossae and in all the churches around, it was men and brethren who were baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and therefore they were baptized into the church, which is the Lord's body. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And since salvation is in Christ Jesus, we read that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 10, only the saved are in the church. Only the saved are in Christ. And there are many people in this world who call upon the name of the Lord, but they've never been baptized into Him according to His command, and they're not really in Christ, therefore they're not really in the church. And this book of Colossians refers to us as being, or these Colossians, or those in the church. And so it's so important for us to hold on to that and to be able to teach that in the world around us. As we think of this salutation, notice that we're also hearing the words of grace. Grace, a gift of God towards us on our behalf, something that's freely given. It is the power of God and His Spirit in us to overcome the sins of the world by which we are saved, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And these Colossians live by this grace. Peace is something that also comes from God. We live in a world full of turmoil today, and the Lord's people should be at peace. We should be a people who can look out into the world and see all the terror and the troubles. And you know, we live in an age today, we were talking yesterday, where Supreme Courts and Congress and the men that run this country are leaning towards accepting homosexuality, which could cause great harm to the church and its freedoms. And yet, we should be at peace, because we know that the mighty hand of God is in control, that the mighty hand of God is stretched out on our behalf. And no matter what happens in this world, we should have the peace that surpasses all understanding, as Paul spoke of in Philippians 4 and verse 7. And they lived according to that, the will of the Father. And that brings peace. And therefore, as we think about these saints at Colossae, and we should be thinking about ourselves and mirroring that, and praying that we have the same qualities within us as we seek to do God's will here in Bedford. They've set for us a great example, haven't they? And we should be thankful. In our study, as we come to learn more about them and be more thankful for the many lessons that we learn from this church. One of the things that we learn is in verses 3 through 8 that we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since you heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We heard of your faith and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and has brought forth fruit as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear brother, fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Paul spent a lot of time in prayer, good example for all of us. And Paul was very specific with his prayers. He wanted to be thankful to them for their faith and their love, for their hope that they had, and for the work and the fruit that came from them, because they heard the word of God and they began to bear fruit right away. We know from past studies how important that fruit is. We know that when the sower sows the seed, that if it falls on a heart and that heart doesn't produce fruit, that heart is a lost heart, a lost soul. But when that fruit, that word of God is planted in a man's heart and that heart goes out and produces fruit, some 30, some 60, some 90-fold, or even 100-fold, that they're doing the will of God. And we all need to seek to bear fruit by teaching our young people the way of the truth, bear fruit by going out into the community and sharing the good news with others, and bearing fruit by laboring and studying the Word of God so that we ourselves are sure that we look in that reflection of the mirror of our souls and we know that we're walking in truth and in righteousness. And Paul wanted this for them, and he wants this for us. The basis of Paul's thanks was their faith. We read that in verse 4. The basis for Paul's thanks to the Colossians was based on their love. And we see that in verse 4 and in verse 8. And remember that their love was for all the saints, and their love was according to the Spirit. We've studied the word love. We know what love is. Love is a service, and it's a sacrifice, and it's an obedience on behalf of our God and His Word. And so when Paul's thanking them for their love, he's using that term agape, and it has to do with what we do or what they do for their God, their love for all the saints and their love in the Spirit, and their hope in verse 5. You know, you think about hope. What is hope? Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of hope as the faith of things that are hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And what is it that they hope for? They hope for that eternal life in heaven. They hope to bring other people into the fold and to help other people come to the knowledge of Christ, to help other people become a part of the church. Another point here is how they gain their faith, love, and hope. He mentions that in the text. It comes from the word of the truth of the gospel. The word, the truth, and the gospel. You know, this is something that we all have to place in a very high point in our lives, something extremely important to each one of us, as these three are really one, which describe Christ Jesus in His love for us. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That Word became flesh and dwelled among us. John chapter 1. He brought the truth down from heaven with Him, because everything He taught was from the Father. He didn't teach anything of Himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we find great comfort in that. And they also were being thanked by Paul, because that's where their faith rested. And the gospel, of course, is what Jesus brought into the world. And that's that same gospel that Jesus taught His disciples, who became apostles, and the apostles taught the disciples, who went out into the world and taught the precious gospel good news of Jesus Christ to the known world. And we can be thankful for the example here in Colossians, and we also should be thankful that we've been given the ability through the Spirit of God to do the same thing in our own personal lives. Paul refers to Epaphras. Epaphras, in a sense, was their minister. Colossians 1 and 7, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear brother, who was a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, Paul says, who also declared to you the love of the Spirit. Only in Colossians is this term really used in this way, referring to another person. When he says Epaphras, your servant, he's using that term that means a bond servant, somebody who was bought and paid for. And so we also are bond servants of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6, if you look at that, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And this is that domino effect that Paul taught Epaphras. Epaphras went in and preached in Colossae and Timothy and so on. We also need to walk in Christ. And walking in Him means that we're obeying and all the things that were taught by Him. Colossians chapter 3, if you look at that, verses 22 and following. All the way into chapter 4, Paul talks about the bondservants who must obey all things by their masters according to the flesh, not giving eye service and not being men pleasers, but being sincere in the heart, fearing God. And we don't have any master other than the Lord Himself. And we also need to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And we will not have any condemnation. We need to live lives where we're fearing God, not man. Paul said in that book of Colossians, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. And so we're thankful to hear these words as Paul expounds on the value of the ministry that we all are partakers of. Paul reminds us that those who do wrong will be repaid. They'll receive a reward from God. It'll be condemnation. But we have a reward of an inheritance from God if we walk in the truth and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not a respecter of persons. He has no partiality. It just simply comes down to those who obey and are good ministers and those who do not obey. You know, as we read this, what we really, I hope that you clearly see, is the definition of a bondservant. A definition is somebody who has a heart to please God, not men, and somebody who doesn't walk around looking to be seen or walk around judging other people. It's not important. But what we do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so we must thank the Colossians again here for this clear understanding of what it really means to be a servant. That the Colossians had received the gospel in this way themselves. If we read again in the very beginning here in chapter 6, speaking of the gospel of truth, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and it is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. We live in a world today that presents the gospel in all kinds of different ways. But we know that the way and the truth is the Word of God as presented by Jesus and carried on through by the apostles, that is written down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the breath of God, and there is no other truth. And so we think of this, that came to the world through the preaching of the Word of God. It came to the world in one way and one way only, and that is by the word of truth. And so how important is it for each of us to study this word, be diligent, to show ourselves approved unto God? How important is it for us to look at this so that we can understand the completeness of God as is written in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 10? We need to be disciples of Christ. And that's striking proof here of the fruitfulness and the fullness of the church here at Colossae and of their preachers. And it's a further cause for us to be thankful for what they have done on their part so that we can be encouraged to do the same on our part. It's an example for us all. Colossians 1:18, as we begin to wrap this up in thought, we need to be watchful and careful of those who are faithful ministers of Christ. If you notice that he said, on your behalf. And we need to be that kind of minister, administering the Word of God on behalf of another person. You see, it's not, look at me, I'm an evangelist, and I've gone out and so many people have heard the Word of truth through me, and look how great I am. No, it's, I am just a servant. I'm nothing. And what I want to do is share the good news of Jesus with you. I want to be able to present this word to you in truth and in righteousness in a way that's loving and genuine and caring so that I can establish in you a hope. A hope that you also could have eternal life with all those who have gone before. That precious hope that we would be with Him who created all things from nothing, in that precious place called heaven. And so as ministers, we need to be faithful, each one of us, in Christ, on behalf of another person. It isn't selfish. It's not about me. It's about those lost souls out there. In Colossians chapter 4, in verses 12 through 13, we read that Epaphras is one of you. You notice that? He's one of them. The preacher is one of you. He's not somebody special that you know, a lot of people have that false impression that the preacher is somebody special. Some churches call him a pastor. You know, he's our shepherd and he leads us and we just follow him. And the problem is that what they do is they listen, but they don't really follow. They're just kind of watching him do all the work. And that's not the way it was. Epaphras is one of you. Epaphras himself was a bond servant of Christ, and he's the one that's greeting you, and he's no different than you. He's always laboring fervently for you in prayer. And so each one of us should be laboring fervently for one another in prayer. And so that, you know, the result of that is so that we can stand together perfect and complete in the will of God. That's a wonderful gift, a wonderful message from this book of the Colossians. We need to be somebody that can bear a witness and be bared witness of our zeal towards God. And for Paul goes on and talks about others in Laodicea and Hierapolis, all of these places. Places where people are known because of their faith. Places where people are known because of their understanding of their relationship with the Lord as a bondservant in Christ Jesus. And those who share that preciousness with the world around them with zeal. And so Paul, he's putting his seal on Epaphras. And think about that for a minute. As individual Christians, each one of us should be really desirous to receive this seal. Not from Paul, not from me, not from men called elders, not from deacons, not from members of the body. Who do we want our seal to come from? From the Lord our God. And that's really what it all comes down to. We want to do those things which are good and acceptable and perfect in the sight of God according to His will. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And so Paul, you know, he's putting his seal on Epaphras, but today we want our seal to come from our Lord and Savior. And it's all the more reason here to be thankful to the Colossians. Just take a minute, sometime today, just pause and think about these first eight verses and how wonderful it is to be called a saint. How wonderful it is to be claiming to have the grace of God and the peace that comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to be able to have someone say, thank God for you. Thank God for you on your behalf. Why? Because we've heard of your faith. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. And we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." This is what their hope is in. And it comes from the truth of the gospel. And in verse 6, that truth came to them the same as it did to me and the same as it does to you through the precious Word of God that we hear. Romans 10 and 17. In verse 7, we're thankful because there are those who go out and preach. Not focusing on Epaphras, but on every member here in the congregation. I know and have such a wonderful joy in my heart when I hear of members that are talking to other people, asking us to pray for different people, having Bible studies and talking to those about the Word. And so it is wonderful to have so many ministers of Christ in one body. And Paul says, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And that's what we need to stop and be thankful and just meditate on these first 8 verses. Be thankful to God for our faithful brethren in Christ. We want to live like those in Colossae, being thankful for all the lessons of the faith and the hope and the love of the Word of the truth of God in the gospel of Christ that they proclaimed every day as they went out. And we must, as Paul would say, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. You see, that's what they did. Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, but based on what he says here, he means the same thing to every saint who is faithful. We need to be those who diffuse the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in every place. So let's be thankful. Let's take some time today and just meditate on these first 8 verses and be thankful to God for this wonderful book of Colossians. You know, we've got a song of invitation today. And it's song number 340. I gave my life for thee. And when you read the scripture below that, He, Jesus, died for all, that they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them. Such a wonderful thought as we think about the Colossians and the church here at Bedford and everyone who's called to be a saint, called out for the ministry and the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you think of what is saying here, when I, Jesus, I gave my life for thee. Jesus gave His life for you. He gave His life for me. And in doing so, He's made a great gift to us. Because when He gave His life, He not only gave His life and died a terrible death on that cross for you, but He also did something amazing. He was resurrected from that grave. And now we serve a living Savior who's in heaven, and He's calling you. He said, I gave my life for you. And He wants you to do the same for Him. He wants you to come and be baptized, dead and buried with Him, so that by the power of God you can be raised up from the dead to walk in newness of life, to live by faith and hope and love as those in Colossae, to be a part of the body of Christ, the household of God, to be able to love one another in the purity of the Spirit and the truth and the righteousness of God. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, then you're outside of these wonderful blessings that are only found in Christ. And today, the Lord, His invitation stands to come forward and to sit in that front pew here and to yield yourself and die for Him, spiritual death, so that when the day comes, we will rise with Him to glory and be delivered up into heaven to the Father. He gave His life for us. His precious blood He shed. And we need to think about that right now. And as Christians, those who are called, separated under the gospel of Christ, we should consider these words. He did give His life for us so that we could walk in the Spirit of truth and holiness. And so if we haven't done that, we can come back to Him and we can repent. And we can ask God and He will forgive us. That's the invitation today. I hope you'll heed those words. Think about them. And if you have a need, to come forward today as we stand and as we sing.